You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt One Plus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by Rochelle Barnes. Hi, Moan.
What's up, Dayan? DK, what's going on, my brethren? You get a haircut?
Oh, yeah. The boss does it all. She does it all.
Look at you, Megan Spiffy. Look at you.
She refuses to let me go outside the establishment anymore. Everything has to be done in-house. This won't surprise you. She's really, really good at it.
I would joke and mess around with Dolly and be like, Dolly's not that good. She can't be good at everything, but I refuse to get on her bad side today by judging what I don't know. I just wanted to talk trash to her, okay? That's all I was really looking forward to, really. Talking trash to Dolly.
You got to be honest like Abe.
How about we honestly hit this bell? Because yesterday we didn't even take a break. We went power.
There's no we. Who's in charge of the bell?
Smile, DK.
That's right, pal. I got some fun for you today, Mr. Cool Shades over there. I think you're going to like this exercise.
What you got for me?
What do we talk about on this show all the time? Offense. Quarterbacks. Even more quarterbacks, right? I have a fun exercise for you today. You ready?
Yes. Talk to me nicely, Dan.
Okay. Where is the opener going to be this year? Probably in Baltimore or something. I don't know. They always put it, you know, it's never in Pittsburgh except for last year.
Yeah, well, they'll paint a picture. It'll probably be defensive player of the year versus, second place defensive player of the year. What are you, runner up? What are you thinking about that?
So Cleveland. TJ versus, what's his name? Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett. Yep.
All right. So the Steelers kick off. The Browns have the ball. Who runs onto the field? You ready? I'm going to read off here 10 names, okay? And I want you to pay particular attention to the first nine, okay? These are in no particular order. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward, Alex Highsmith, Joey Porter Jr., Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton, Elandon Roberts, Patrick Queen, Deshaun Elliott, and the 10th one I don't say with a whole lot of excitement, but the Steelers really seem to like him, and that's Dante Jackson. So the only player who's missing, theoretically, from a positional standpoint, is a slot corner.
That's a slot corner.
But those first nine names, tell me why. Tell me what I'm missing here. Other than health, that's obvious. That you would keep this from being an outstanding defense. Not good, not very good, but outstanding.
What would keep it from it?
Yeah.
You're going to hate me for this.
Go ahead.
Either age, one or two positions. Okay.
One position.
Cam until he taps out, we got to believe he can still do it. But Father Time conquers all in the sport of football. Okay. That one. Okay. And an offense that can't stay on the field. That's what grinds you to a nub right there, right? Is an offense that can't stay off the field. And Cree puts up here injuries, hip drop tackles. Huh, you guys are hilarious. But DK, when you mention those names, you mention sustainability, you mention names we're very familiar with, you mention names that we're hopeful about, Keanu Benn, right? But you mention guys that are go-getters, playmakers. That those are the things that you're getting yourself into whenever you mention that defense. It's never a question about what Pittsburgh can do defensively. It's always a question what you're going to do offensively. Defensively, I can see this group holding its own. Now, the bell of the ball right now in the AFC North is Cleveland Browns defense, right? Jim Schwartz and what he's done with that group and really put them over to the top. The thing that they had working for them was they finally found an offense that worked for them too, that complemented them, and special teams also. That's where this team has to be more complete. But if you're asking me, would I hate game planning against the Pittsburgh Steelers with the names that you just mentioned? Yes, it's going to be a nonstop headache. The only other thing too is Cree said earlier, right? I'm going to put this up here from Cree, got to get you off the uncle's table. What we got going on here, okay? Injury. That plays a huge part because behind TJ and Alex, I trust Nick Herbig, right? But if you're asking me who do I trust at D-tackle inside linebacker, right? Those are the questions I think that have to be answered through either the draft, another sprinkle of free agency here or there. But it's that group right there, the D-tackles and the linebackers, that somewhat will be questionable, DK. But that is a strong front line when it comes down to the 9-10 guys that you just mentioned. And I don't even think you mentioned Nick Herbig, who I just brought up a second ago, right? As far as
how do you do it? Yeah. You want three OLBs? You
can't. No, do it. No, absolutely not. Although TJ can float around in that middle linebacker role, and he's improving, and you can possibly have him out there in that type of tandem. But again, that's situational. That's not your base. That's not your, hey, we're playing this the majority of the game. Those are gadget type of calls right there. I like that defense, though, that you just named. Other teams will be salivating over. And I don't want to disrespect the guys that are playing those positions, because can never forget this one particular name, Montrevious, right? Montrevious Adams is there. DeMarvin Leal is there. Larry Ogunjobi is still around, too. DeMarvin has to step up. It's got to be fast.
Or it's
got to be quick. What's that?
Step out. If he doesn't fit this scheme, and that's a very real possibility, Moan, he has to step out.
Yeah.
Scheme. I mean, that sounds terrible, but I don't know what they were thinking with this pick.
I do. He came from a big-time college. If I'm not mistaken, he was a 4- or 5-star coming out of high school. He played decently well at such a young age at Texas A&M also. He has the intangibles, right? He has everything that you need as far as checking off the box of this guy can play for us. I don't know if it's will. I don't know if it's like you said, he doesn't fit the scheme. Maybe he's a Tampa type of breaking news. Unless it's a Tampa type of defense or Dallas up the field type or even a Cleveland defense, he may be more suited for if it's the actual scheme, DK, that's not really showing his his ability to make plays. They think the world of him. From all the people I've talked to about him,
is that
they
right?
They think the world of DeMarvin Leal and what he was capable of. Again, guys get in the NFL sometimes, man, and people don't really just look at how guys are mentally built, psychologically built too. Like we look at, he runs fast, he jumps, he's mean. But sometimes, DK, it really does come down to the mental building of guys. And maybe that's him. Maybe he's seen somebody go in, a Keanu Benton, and make plays, and it kind of shut him down. We don't know what his conditioning is like. We don't know what none of those things are like, DK, when it comes down to what he is capable of doing. But I know he has a lot of talent in him. And we've seen guys leave and go to other places too and do good.
It's a strange situation. You sound like you've had more success than I have in poking people about him. I've actually taken that one directly to the head coach. And sometimes he's good at giving you, you never know, he'll surprise you, a really direct, forthright answer on an individual. And I thought I had one from him once, and he got about 5 seconds into it and just went into the most vanilla possible thing. Yeah, and it's like, just give it to me here. What's he missing? What's the flaw here? And I think he thinks I have some kind of DeMarvin Leal fixation or whatever. But to me, it's a curious case. And if it was any other position, we would all be fussing over him.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, we would be like, hey, what's going on here? What's going on here? And it wouldn't just be me doing it.
No.
I see a defensive line, and I'm with you. When you made the cringy face at the very beginning, because you don't know about Cam's health. You don't know about Larry's health.
But
you have one or the other is likely to be available to you in a given week. Keanu Benton is headed into his vital year two.
Love it. This was the year that he had as a rookie is the year that we expected out of DeMarvin Leal. Fair?
Didn't get, but we sure got it from Benton.
We did.
And I still feel like there's a defensive lineman that's going to end up here in this draft class. I don't know that it's going to be, you know, we've talked about this. There's not much there in the first round or whatever, but you can bring somebody else in. Yeah, something like that. You can bring somebody in who can have an impact for you. And maybe, if nothing else, just push other guys on that second tier. Moan, my overall point here before we cut out to the Hey Moan segment is I just look at this defense and the fact that we don't talk about it, the fact that fans don't seem to talk about it should speak volumes to how highly we think about it. Because this is the time of year when you talk about everything that you can.
It is, DK, and I'm glad you brought up the defense too, because here's what you want as a team. You want playmakers at every level, right? That's essentially what you're looking for. D-line, you got Cam, TJ, Hay, and Alex, right? And then you got now your middle.
Benton, maybe.
Ben, we're going to temper it back a little bit, okay? Not really. But you got Patrick Queen up the middle, plus whoever's with him. And then you got Minka on the back end also, DK. It is appealing. We're not talking enough about him. But in today's world, especially with rules getting kicked out for defensive players, defenses don't matter until championship runs, man. My thing is quality of depth and injuries. What are we going to do if Cam has to miss again? That, to me, became very bothersome for our hoping. Yes, Jerry, you're right. A slot corner. DK, I think you mentioned that earlier. Cam being out, I think, is very problematic. Cam can't go 90% of the snaps unless he just wants to prove this podcast right here wrong. I don't think it's smart. But the idea that he can't go out and then there's gashes of runs and chunk runs that are given up when he's out, the leadership side of it. I know TJ is a very vocal guy too. Is Patrick Queen going to be another guy that brings it along with him? Minka is a follow me type of guy when it comes down to leadership and stuff like that. But to be pressing about what this defense needs to be and how sustainable it is post-Cam at some point, is where we got to find that answer moving forward, DK.
When we come back, I'm pretty sure we're going to engage in the only segment that actually matters.
And that's Hey Moan plus breaking news, DK.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news, you say, Mr. Moan. What you got?
My VFL Vol for life, Cordarrelle Patterson, was just signed to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a 2-year deal is what it was reported as, man. It's crazy. With a new rule and kickoff return, you sign a new kickoff coverage guy, man. That is huge, DK.
Well, he's not just a kickoff coverage guy. If a football card could have three sides to it, his would have it because – he's got stats in pretty much every category. He's obviously best known as a running back. He's lined up at wide receiver. He's been a return specialist. My God, the guy's taking snaps on the other side of the football, for crying out loud. So he's done a little bit of everything. He comes along with Arthur Smith, having spent the last 3 years in Atlanta. And Moan, he also just turned 33 years old.
Yeah.
What is the significance here? What would Smith be thinking in bringing this individual along?
He's a guy that's in space. He's a guy that's big. Arthur Smith has put this guy at running back, and I think he made Pro Bowl or All Pro at that position. Also, he's done everything for the Atlanta Falcons, and I ain't gonna say he saved Arthur Smith's job, but he definitely moved that friggin' offense. He moved the Atlanta offense before they got more weapons on their squad. He is an all-pro kick returner. He's an all-American kick returner. He's a first-round draft pick specifically at those positions right there, too. He's got it. And, yes, he's 33, though.
Yes. And that's why I look at 9 kickoff return touchdowns and say, oh, man, like just missed. We could have had, know? There's nobody who returns kicks at that age. There's nobody who returns. You know what I'm saying?
He will, and he does. So here's my thing. If we can say the game has evolved, right, we can also say that the players have too, DK.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 30-year-old number has to change.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
I do. I saw a guy in DeAndre Hopkins be a 31-year-old guy. Get over 1,100 yards. I see quarterbacks' ages be raised up and nobody bat an eye anymore.
Isn't that funny how it only applies to quarterbacks, though, huh?
I'm seeing Cam Hayward play well into his 30. Cam Jordan play well into his 30. Other guys that are still getting deals. I'm seeing Trent Williams play in his 30s at a high level. I saw a guy in
running back, Moan.
Jason Kelce also play well into his 30s. At those positions. He's not a running back. You got your two running backs. He's a kick return speed guy to me. What I'm saying is, I think the same way we have changed the way we view the quarterback, he can play into his 40s. I think other positions, because guys train different, their bodies are different. Football, you don't have to do football and then go to another job in the hills of West Virginia in the coal mines and nothing like that, right? Guys know how to take care of themselves more. I do think we have to start shifting our mindset at that 30-year-old point. I do.
Paulie gets clever on everybody and says that Coach T says we want volunteers and not hostages, so I guess this signing proves it. Paulie's not above pandering to you, Moan. I see this.
Paulie, right here in the fields every time. Go Vols, baby.
Pittsburgh Hornets wants to know, hey, Moan, what do you think about the new kickoff rule?
I actually like it. Have you heard it? You went through it, DK, exactly what it is?
I went through it, then it went over my head, and then I turned my attention to something else. So what do you got?
All you got to do is look at the XFL and how they do it. I think it adds more excitement. I think your dudes who are your short, quickness, in space type of guys will benefit from this tremendously. So the way it breaks down is this. It's a whole lot of words, but it's really dope if you see the video. It says the kicker will place the ball at his own 35-yard line. 10 of his teammates will line up on the other team's 40-yard line. It's pretty much toss them up, bust them up. Whenever the receiving team gets the ball, that's when you can go. Whenever they receive the ball, they can go and you tackle them. It's basically eliminating the big impact that we talked about time and time again. It eliminates that, and it also makes it more exciting for the fans, too. That's what I'm getting from it. There's a lot more other rules that go into it, kicking it inside the 20, the end zone, fair catching, and stuff like that. I don't think now you get as many yards on touchbacks as you did in the previous regime of it. So the rest of it is this. The kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will now be going to the receiving team's 30-yard line. So kicking it out the back of the end zone, you don't get much from that anymore. It used to be the
reward. Yeah.
So it's better for the return because you're taken out of the impact. That also, I think, DK, changes the way you set your roster up now, too. You got to make sure you have those skill guys. The return man is not just a DB. It may be a guy, Frank Gore played till he's 67. It's not just a DB or a random wide receiver. I think you may end up having more of a specialty type guy to do kick returns, DK. I think the game may change, but it's also a one-year trial on this to see how teams like it. If they love it, they'll keep it. If not, it'll be something else.
Well, it's going to be interesting. That's for sure. I think Art Rooney in his meeting today with reporters in Orlando, Florida, said something along the lines of like, you know, we'll see. You know, it didn't sound like anybody was super stoked about it. Meaning, and I understand that, especially if you're part of the old guard, which the owners certainly are. I found the exact quote. He said, quote, "There was not a lot of enthusiasm. It's going to be interesting. Let's put it that way." You know, I can see where a lot of people are on edge about this. This is how you begin the football game. It's how you begin the half. It's how you begin every sequence following a score. And it's really one of the few things that's left in football that involves the actual human foot. So I could see where they wouldn't have wanted to get rid of it because then it starts getting farcical.
Yeah.
So, but I also can appreciate that, you know, that safety is going to come first here, and never takes long between when we mention safety and someone comes along with the flag reference. This is evolving tackles. It's not tackles at warp speed. That's all.
And the contact is still going to be there.
Arguably more the way you describe it, Moan, more arguably, because you're not valuing the touchback.
Trying to incentivize running the ball back, DK. Because think about how many times you've seen the ball go up and it's a simple waving of the arm for the fair catch, right? Like, all right, we're done with this play. I think if anything, the old ways, DK, of doing the kickoff would take away the kickoff and the kickoff return more than this new way does. Like it's challenging coaches and players, specifically coaches, to actually coach the special teams guy. You're not just on a roster for extra points. It's gamesmanship at this point right here. It is, all right, what if they squib kick it and stuff like that? Like, a lot changes whenever you're telling teams you have to run the ball back. I like this new rule. I think you still get the big hits. I think you get more excitement out of it. And it just sets the offense up on a really just quick, let's go mode type of moment, man, because it can end quick or it can be a kickback or return.
Steven says, "Hey, Moan, why do the Steelers value pass rushing nose tackles as opposed to the dominant run stopping nose tackles?"
I'll say this. Me knowing that group, they want the run stopper, but the run stopper can't just be his only job. You have to be able to pass rush too. Trust me, today's NFL has not much room for just a one-way player, meaning run stopping. Hargraves, Benton, both are guys that can get up the field and pass rush. Because if you get caught in a third down situation and you don't have a pass rusher out there, you're cooked. I don't think they target them. It's just a preference on why we got to have one guy doing one thing only. That's not today's NFL anymore. Like, Casey Hampton was amazing at what he was doing, right? But can Casey be more than a first, second down guy in today's game? Probably not as much as you expect him to. And I'm not denying that he was able to get after the quarterback. But if we look up his career sacks compared to who, what other guys are getting at the position now, it's totally different if we're looking at Hargraves, right?
I'll tell you one thing that I liked was hearing Mike Tomlin this week talk about Patrick Queen and a couple other players who play closer to the line of scrimmage and referencing their pass rush. Now, it's been some time since the Steelers have generated a pass rush from any position other than OLB. Yeah. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
And I think that's hurt the defense schematically. I think it's made it a little bit too predictable. Mm. At times, sure, it's still tough to stop TJ, even if you know he's coming, okay? It can be tough to stop, especially when he's got Alex Highsmith coming from the other side. But, man, I hate to keep referencing Mike Hilton as if he's the greatest player who ever wore the uniform.
Slot position.
But, man, I mean, you want to talk about a variable, you could move him around anywhere, and Cincinnati's done this to their credit, and just say, go get him, or drop into coverage, or do something. But the Steelers have really been missing that air of unpredictability. That's why I still think that slot corner is a big swing vote as to whether or not this defense can take the next step there. Do you know what I'm saying, Moan?
Oh, no doubt about it, DK. I'm there with you on that one. That was one of the first things that you mentioned when you gave out all the names as far as the defense was concerned, is what are you going to do in the slot? Because teams are drafting slot wide receivers early. You know, mm-hmm. And slot DBs pay have gone up also. I think they're averaging almost $8-10 million a year at mm-hmm. that position. By the way, in today's game versus Casey Hampton's game, Big Hemp played 12 seasons. You know how many sacks he had? 9.
Is that right?
His career. 9.
No one complained.
Nobody complained because what was that era? It was stopping the ball, right? You close him out. And Big Hamp was a Pro Bowler, all that type of stuff. I'm not minimizing. But Hargraves played 8 and got 49 at the same position. The game just changed.
It right in front of our eyes. And in fact, Big Snack might have been the last great player of his kind at that position, you know?
Only other big guy, DJ Reader, still a pass rusher. Right? Like,
yeah, and the other guys who were big who were over there were never in doubt as to whether, like, a Calais Campbell or whoever. They would just right. – he could do anything.
Right, right. And we're talking about nose tackles right here, not necessarily D tackles or DNs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, difference right there.
Jason says, hey, Moan, is this hip tackle rule stuff, is this ruining football?
It happens such a small amount of time, but it's a big conversation. What happens is you have marquee guys get caught with that. I'll ask you this for the football to soft people. And Mr. Rooney brought that up today. We are direct recipients of having our season ruined by a guy doing that. Fontez Perfect did it to Le'Veon on the sideline. Remember that one? I'm an offensive player, okay? Mine is, and I like to see guys eat. If you take guys out of the game, what you say James Harrison said? I wanted to inflict pain on people, not injure them and take them out. There's a difference in what you're doing. What's made this conversation so big is in a big-time game, divisional game like the one we had with Cincinnati, where Burfict hip drops on Le'Veon, that's intentional. Do you want that? And you say, oh, it's just a part of the game. Or were y'all in the sand going, F that bleeper. Like, you were probably saying that in that moment. So
it's partly because it was him, but yeah.
But when it's your marquee player that has to go out, right? Are you upset with the rule change then? Or is it, oh, football is soft? When it's your player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for player safety. The game is still very physical. Go ask the guys that play it.
We have a couple people mentioning Hello, Tinata. That's a really good example here. Vince Wilfork, guys who were right in that same generation of nose tackles that Casey Hampton was in. But yeah, the position is it's changed. You know, these guys now, they have to get off their blocks as opposed to consuming them, and they have to explode through them. They have to get back there. That's part of what has management so stoked about Keanu Benton, is they see that in his game, but he has another level that he still needs to hit in terms of being into NFL shape here.
32 and a half sacks for Haloti Ngata, and that's over 13 years and 16 for Vince Wilfork. Mm-hmm. They were run stop specialists.
DeMond has a question for you, Hamon. He says, hey, Hamon, with the signing of Cordarrelle Patterson, what does that mean for Najee Harris? What's happening, everyone? He also affects, wants to know.
It affects Najee nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Or Jalen.
Or Jalen. Neither one of those dudes. It affects them, no. This, to me, is a special team signing more than anything. Look at this deal. Was it 2 for 6? That's a 1-4, probably. 1-for-4 after everything's said and done.
Yeah, they want to just there's a certain hole that they want to take care of here, and the coordinator obviously has a special relationship and a special trust with this individual, and I think that's to be respected. A guy comes in at that position, and he tells you, listen, I'd live and die with this individual. I believe he still has it. You got to listen to him. No doubt. I'm presuming a lot, but not really. Yeah, Robert Ryder wants to know, hey, Moan, is the Tampa 2 obsolete?
No, absolutely not. You just got to have a linebacker that can drop deep in coverage. That's what that is. Yeah, absolutely not. That is a mainstay in the NFL.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Stopping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Yeah, that's it here. Brian Jonker wants to know, since you brought him up with DeMarvin Leal, he says, Leal had a good share of total snaps early in the season, then almost nothing later. What happened?
Technique, probably. Discipline. And somebody probably came ahead of him. It's that simple when it comes down to it. As a young guy, you can't do what Cam do. You can't do what Larry O do. Nick Kerbick can't do what TJ do. It's probably technique, probably cost him some plays or some in-house stuff. That happens.
Easy Money says, what do you think about trying Mark Robinson at the edge? I know what you're getting at here.
I starred that one for this question.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. What do you think?
It's either make or break for Mark. Either he better be Roosevelt Nix, Tyler Medicavich, Robert Golden. He better be a special teams king or find another position. Because as it stands right now, up the middle doesn't seem to be working out for him, because you got Patrick Queen that does what he do. If he's not going to drop in coverage, sick him. Send him after the quarterback off the edge or some type of a package. When you've asked him to do one thing, he does it. But, DK, you know how this league goes. You got to evolve.
You got to evolve, or I can play devil's advocate here with you.
I love this. Let's do it.
If you have Mark Robinson on your roster and you say to yourself, well, listen, he has what we consider to be a fatal flaw. He can't drop into coverage. Okay, he's not making the great reads. We believe that he's elite, and he is, at pursuit and closing. Okay? Now, we also have Nick Herbig over here. He's also got a temporary residence on the island of Misfit Toys. He's an outside linebacker where on a team that's already got TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. Okay. Why, you know, think of something, get a little creative. We're always giving Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin credit, for example, for the schemes that they seem to set up specifically for the Ravens. Okay, you knew I was going to say that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they'll set something up, and all of a sudden, Mark Robinson's really involved in the scheme, and you're going, hey, this guy can actually play football. And Nick Herbig's making some splash plays. Why is it only against Baltimore? Is it Lamar? Is it just because they're in the division and you're trying to be less predictable? Walk me through this, Moan. Help
that in the division, less predictable. Yeah, definitely in a division because it weighs a little bit more and you got to do all things. And so what if they see it again? They hadn't seen it. Now, I think that plays a part in it too, DK. But I think it's just a true testament of what their deficiencies are in those types of games. They're only doing one specific thing. Because of that one specific thing and it helps us win, then we're out of the way. The same thing goes for Spillane. Remember, I'll continue to bring him up. You had to find something for him, right? And you did.
Yes.
But he also has helped himself by staying on the field, being smart enough with the green dot, and trying to hide his deficiency of pass coverage as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, the onus – I don't mean to take the onus off the player. The player does have to adjust. So you can't just say, well, listen, I would have been a good linebacker in – 2010 or something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't change the position because, as you noted earlier, with the proliferation of slot receivers and everything, the offenses have changed. Defenses by nature have to be reactive. Freeman says, hey, Moan, beyond the obvious, explain what it means when people say that the quarterback cannot read coverages.
Oh, my. It's so much more. I'm going to give you a quick one real quick. Freeman, by the way, you got to get your membership, man, with such a great question like that. And I starred that one too, man. With that being said, stuff shifts. Cover two may end up changing to cover three. Man, two man is a thing. Like, knowing when you saw, was it Sam Darnold said, I'm seeing ghost. That's because the defense is tricking the absolute crap out of them. Okay, man might be two man to where a guy may branch off and let another guy go into another zone. Like, it's the ability to not read the fluff by knowing your offense. This is where it starts. Knowing your offense good enough that you know that they can't run that coverage against you. If they do, I simply go here. Guys trying to force the ball in between two defenders when, guess what? There's also a linebacker cutting underneath. Like, it's those little simple, quick, just concise moments that guys get tricked. And I'll be real with you, Freeman. It happens so quick. But your ability to compute and understand what they should and should not be doing against you, that's where it starts. Learning and knowing your offense, the detail, that film does matter. So that's what it means. Cover two or cover two man, cover one, is it three, is it shit? Like, there are so many different coverages that you have to be able to process your offense first. And then know what the defense can do against you. And some guys have issues with that type of stuff.
And then the last one we're going to take today here before we have a special closing segment comes from Ben, who says, hey, Moan, what do you think of the new rules allowing a review of certain penalties? And also, are you in favor of full-time referees? Let's take that second one because the review of certain penalties is enough for a whole other show here.
The league has tried that.
What about full-time refs? You guys develop a relationship with these guys. They're not just like statues out on the field for you, are they?
No, they're not. And these aren't just, hey, we're bringing in a new batch this week. No, these guys go through training. They got a combine. They have to pass tests. They have to be fluent in the rules and everything. They're full-time. They're just part-time because there's an NFL offseason. The same umpires that I saw in year one, I saw in year 11, some of them. Okay, it's not like you're just moving parts with them. They just have on, let's go Tuesday through Thursday before they got to travel, they may have a different job or they may be an accountant. They are full-time, but they don't put them as full-time because then they pay them throughout the course of the year. It's not as if they're just regular Joe Blows off the road. Those guys are specialists at what they're doing on the field. Mm-hmm. So that's the other side of it.
We're going to be back after a minute here with a message from Rochelle. So stay with us here, all right?
Yep.
Yeah, this was I was up really, really late last night, Moan, whenever the news hit about the bridge collapsing, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing right there in Baltimore. It's actually near the Ravens Stadium. It's a bridge that I have to cross. A lot of people have to cross on the way out of the city. And Rochelle reminds us that we have prayers up for Baltimore and everybody that's affected by the collapse. It's a what a video, though, Moan. Jesus.
I know. So quick, so fast on how it went down, too, unless it was sped up. Prayers and condolences to those people affected by that, man. I know we got a lot of issues in America. We do. Infrastructure should be one of those things for a company that prides itself on the first world country.
Thank you.
Roads, bridges, like that stuff, schools, right? Education. You say what you want to. Most, if not all of us, are recipients of some type of governmental assistance, whether that's public school, whether that's, I don't know what it is, okay? But the infrastructure of these roads, where we live at, how we operate, what it should look like, should be totally different. That it's bridge right there shouldn't have been gone down by a tap.
We look, you know, in Pittsburgh, we obviously had our own near catastrophe with the Fern Hollow Bridge collapsing a couple of years ago. And, you know, we had a bus slide down the front end of it. But because of the way the bridge collapsed, kind of like this, the bus was up here and everybody was fine. Nobody was even injured.
Wow.
That's luck to an extreme. Since then, all of a sudden, we've had all kinds of initiatives to fix up all of our bridges and repair everything. Everything in our downtown area, and of course, we have more bridges than any city in the world. It takes a lot more to do that here than it does in most places. You've seen bridges getting repaired, replaced. All three of our sisters, the Fort Pitt Bridge, Fort Duquesne Bridge. But it's not enough, okay? When you see that accident, you're just as a human nature thing, you're going to say, oh, that could have been me. Or I was just, like I just said earlier, I'm just on that bridge when I leave M&T Bank Stadium. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, no doubt. Rochelle, thank you for that too, man. There's a lot. And I'll just leave it at that. I was about to go further. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it's because this isn't political. Okay, let's put it this way. Whichever party happens to be in charge of anything, you really ought to fix the bridges. Okay.
Period.
That's not a blue versus red thing here. You really ought to fix the bridges. There aren't, as much as we disagree on, I think we can all be on the same side that one here. Lori says, yeah, a cargo ship hit the bridge. This isn't an infrastructure. You're correct, Lori, in the technical sense. However, it went down
way too easy.
Okay.
And we're not minimizing what you're saying or how it happened. A cargo ship did hit it, but the parameters that the protection that could have been around that bridge where it hit at is that, I mean, that's so much. Again, you're right. I'm right. Nobody's wrong on this. It's sad.
Julio, come on, man. Seriously.
Julio. It is.
Yes, we have more. We have more. We have more than Venice, but it's a really small number. Like the separation is just like four or five.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let's look it up. You ready, Moan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pittsburgh bridges and Venice. We can do that.
But see, I went on one of those duck tours in Pittsburgh. They said Venice bridges are also way smaller. Like they might.
Oh yeah, they're these little
bridge. As a bridge.
We have real live. Bridges, you know, we don't mess around with our bridges. We have bridges that actually span rivers as opposed to just, you know, going here. The U.S. Department of Transportation's National Bridge Inventory, which counts bridges that are 20 feet or more, has us with 297. We have 446 overall bridges. That's our total. And that is number one in the world.
Wow.
Venice, for those who are curious, has 438. So that's what I was thinking of here. It's eight. We have eight more than Venice does.
Take that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. We're out of here. I got a hockey game to do, and I'm going to where the hell am I going tomorrow? Oh, baseball in Florida. I had to think of it.
Good,
I'm going to Florida for Pirates versus Marlins later in the week.
Oh, good, DK. Be safe, man. Hey, be good, good people. We'll see y'all.
All right, bye-bye.